You're listening to Kira's Pink Sparkle Podcast with Kira Lawrence, challenging perceptions of learning disability. The views you're about to hear are the personal views of Kira Lawrence and her guests, and not the organisations she is associated with.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Kira's Pink Sparkle Podcast. And I'm thrilled to be joined by the broadcaster, presenter, podcaster, author, composer, writer, Nikki Campbell.
So hey,
here is Pink Sparkle Podcast.
It's great to be on the Pink Sparkle Podcast. I like the way you said that.
Yeah,
Pink Sparkle Podcast. I got my piano there. It's like Pink Sparkle Podcast. There you are.
Yay.
Yeah.
So
thank you for inviting me.
Oh, thank you for coming on and talking to me. It's a real honor.
Likewise.
I'm going to start my fire questions at you now. So if you're ready, we will start.
I am ready.
Wicked. Brilliant. Okey-dokey. So please, can you tell me and my listeners all about you and your career? So tell me all about you, please.
Oh, right, my goodness me. Right. I was born an awful long time ago in Edinburgh. It would have been 1961, a child of the 60s. What about that? I was adopted into a lovely family in Edinburgh. And I grew up, and then I always had an absolute passion when I was growing up for radio. I was obsessed with radio, and I used to listen all the time, and I just fell in love with the magic of it, this voice coming out and connecting with me out of this box. And of course, things were very different then technologically. And then as I progressed, I went to university, and I did think about being an actor because I knew I had a kind of yearning to perform. And then after university, I went straight into radio, and I've really never looked back. Then I was at local radio in Aberdeen for about 3 years. Then I moved to Capital Radio in London. Then I moved to Radio One. Can you believe it that I was on Radio One?
I know
Radio One. And I was in Radio One for 10 years, and then I moved to Five Live, and I've been at Radio 5 for, I think it's like 27 years or something like that. And the station's 30 years old this year. So
wow.
I've been there an awful long time. And I've done a bit of telly along the way. When I was at Radio 1, I used to do lots of top of the pops and things like that. And I presented a game show called The Wheel of Fortune, which I see has just returned.
I remember watching you host it. Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember? My goodness me, you're not that old. You can remember
that. I'm 44.
That, you're looking good for 44. So
thanks.
I did that, and it's just returned on Saturday night, isn't it, with Graham Norton? But they've slightly changed it, and Graham's great. I love Graham. And then I've done lots of other bits and pieces and television programs as well. I do phone-ins and I do debates, and I do with Davina. We do Long Lost Family, which we're just making the 14th series of it, which is just because people love it so much. I love it.
I absolutely love it.
Do you love that? Do you like that program?
I tell you what, I am such a softie. I actually cry. I watched the last series, and I don't think I've cried as much as I have in the last year watching it. And there's something about family that draws you in, and you want to see them reunite. And when they do, oh my God, the floodgates open. I cry at it. I love it.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. And sometimes we cry, a secret for you, sometimes we cry, especially me, because Davina, I think she holds it in before she gets home.
Yeah.
But they don't show that bit on television, because the wonderful thing about the program, some of those stories are so heartwarming and uplifting that you can't stop yourself from crying, really, because we're human beings. So I've cried quite a few times, but they never show it because it's not about us. It's about the people and their amazing, amazing stories. And and what's great about it as well, Kira, is that people share their stories, and going on Long Lost Family, they inspire people. They inspire other people. And it's just, as you say, it's family, and it's about love, and it's about belonging, and it's about hopefully happy endings. But I think a happy ending is really when somebody finds out about their life, things they didn't know, and has questions answered. I think that's the happy ending. Anything after that is a bonus, you know?
Yeah. I think the ones that I really cry at are the ones when mums are told to kind of put their child up for adoption because they haven't got the right support, or, you know, their family, you know, it's a no-no that they've had a baby, and kind of those ones really get to me. Like, really, they're the stories that get me. Like, I think that's really sad that a woman has carried a baby for 9 months and then has to put it up for care or adoption. That's really heartbreaking. Like, I don't have children on my own, unfortunately, but, you know, I've known women who haven't been able to have children, and that's really sad. And those are the stories that really get me when I watch it.
I know, absolutely. And it's people say, oh, well, these things couldn't happen now. But funnily enough, we also do a program which is part of Long Lost Family called Born Without Trace.
Yeah.
And that's about foundlings. And that always happens, and it's still happening. Babies that are left on doorsteps, or babies that are left in telephone boxes. And what we've been able to do through DNA is to maybe reach a second cousin or something like that of the family. And then after that, this amazing woman called Ariel Bruce, who works with us, takes over and does the detective work.
Right.
But you know what? It's so sad when babies are left. And I saw on the news the other day, it happened again. There was a baby, a newborn infant was left and found. So it's still happening, you know, desperate women with nowhere else to turn. And you never know what's going on in these lives, but it's just so sad.
You know, and it's kind of the same for women with a learning disability. Unfortunately, when people with a learning disability have children, sadly, I know of a lot of cases where, and it's heartbreaking. A couple of years ago, I was involved in a project and I met a couple who had two children removed from their care. And I had to watch this video of their story, and I literally had to leave and go and cry, because I was like, I don't understand how these people can have their children taken just because they have a learning disability. It just seems mad. It really does.
Crazy. Yeah, obviously, every circumstance, every case is different.
Yeah.
But I would imagine there's a lot of prejudice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people make immediate assumptions.
Yeah.
You know, that's a very sad thing.
You know, and that's why Rosie Jones was recently on Call the Midwife, because she played a character who was having a baby. And basically the kind of story plot is you need support, you need to be a good parent. And kind of it really showed a person with a learning disability or a disability as a character, and their story of having a child and kind of them being told they need to have support to keep their child. And it's still speak up for those people as part of my career and say, actually, you change your attitude, because that's the wrong attitude. So that's why I have my career, so that I speak up for people with learning disabilities like me.
Well, I think you do it absolutely brilliantly, and I'll never forget you coming on my program, and I hope you come on again very soon.
Yes.
But I mean, Rosie, I did see that, and Rosie was absolutely brilliant in that.
Yes.
But there's another story there, isn't there? Because a few years ago, somebody would have been playing that part, but that Rosie is playing it herself, and those parts are going to people, you know, with learning disabilities. They're going to people who are autistic, for example. But remember that film Rain Man from a few years ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, like an autistic man was played by Dustin Hoffman. And I think it's good that wouldn't happen now, would it?
Nope.
An actor who understands, because they are autistic, would play that part.
In the acting world now, they're really thinking in Hollywood now a bit more about diversity. They're having conversations about inclusion now, which is great. So Sophie Morgan, I don't know if you've heard of Sophie or if you've ever met her, but she's an amazing disability campaigner. Sophie Morgan recently has been running this Rights for Flights campaign around people with a disability and access on flights and planes. I think it's called Rights for Flights or Rights on Flights. And it's this big campaign has all been spearheaded by Sophie, because she had so many issues with her wheelchair going on to flights, and her wheelchair got broken by a flight company. And basically from there, she's launched this big campaign to make sure no one else with a disability goes through that when they go through an airport going anywhere. So she's amazing. So at some point, make sure you interview Sophie Morgan, because she's an amazing disability like influencer.
I'm writing it down. It's incredible how one person with the will and with the determination, you know, can make a difference. We saw that recently with the whole post office thing with that chap Alan Bates, you know, like the little person fighting back. I think it's so inspiring, but it just shows. So Sophie
Morgan.
Excellent.
She just actually moved to the United States, but she does come back over for meetings and things. So kind of she's doing a bit of America, a bit of UK, and back again. She is quite well known within the disability world. Like, she's really spoken. She speaks out a lot on Instagram, on Twitter. She's been on Loose Women recently. It's like, yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, I'm still trying to get her on my podcast. I'm still like, can you come on, please? Because I'd love to have her. So, yeah. Brilliant. So the next thing I was going to ask you about is about your podcast. So I know about your fab podcast, which is called Different. So please, could you tell me why you decided to start your own podcast?
Well, I just think, let me show you something.
Okay.
It sounds like it's a bit of boasting, but something I'm very proud of. Hang on a minute.
I'll get it.
I love talking to people.
Yeah.
And it's something I've been doing for a long, 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 long time.
Okay.
And normally on the radio, you can only do a shortish interview, 7-8 minutes. So what's great about podcasts, and what's great is to be able to interview all sorts of people. And the premise of the podcast is different. That gives us a very broad canvas to interview people. Like, recently I interviewed a guy called Jordy Cernick, who had an operation because he had a very rare medical condition, which means he has no fear. And that has really profoundly affected his life. Yeah. I've interviewed a former drug smuggler. I've interviewed a guy who infiltrated the cartels. I've interviewed, oh my goodness me, Patty Boyd, who was George Harrison's wife and Eric Clapton's wife. It's amazing. So basically, it's called Different, which means I can do different people. And I interviewed Jenny Pearson, who was her father was a teacher at our school, who was an abuser at our school. And Jenny got in touch when it all was in the news. And I interviewed her, and she's the most amazing person, talking about her growing up. And for Jenny, I got this award. Like,
oh, I saw congratulations. I did see
British
that.
Podcast. Yeah, British Podcast Awards, Different, for best interview podcast. So I'm so proud of that. And I'm, because, you know, when you win awards, it's really nice. More often than not, you don't, but occasionally when you do, and I'm sure you'll win one for this podcast because it's wonderful. But when you do win awards, it's great when it's for something that has actually made a difference, you know, and that kind of made a difference.
Definitely. And the reason why I started mine in 2021 was obviously, for me, as a person who has a learning disability, who lives with a learning disability, in the COVID pandemic, people like me were forgotten our voices were forgotten. We were put on the back burner. We weren't listened to in COVID. We were basically told, stay home, don't go out, don't do anything like everybody else. But a lot of the work that I do had to stop. My voice disappeared. And it really broke my heart that during COVID, I wasn't heard of. I couldn't speak out. And so I said to work, is there a way I could have my voice heard and I could have something where I could just raise some awareness of learning disability? And so I came up with this idea of having a podcast. And now I have my own podcast and it's all about raising awareness of learning disability. So I started it in 2021. So it's now 3 years young. And I'm really loving it. I've interviewed Jeremy Vine. I've had Rob Brydon. I've had Penny Mordaunt, the MP. Chesney Hawkes, Adil Ray. I've had like big hitters, which has been amazing. And they've all said yes. I've also had Krishnan Gurumurthy from Channel 4 News, who was recently on Strictly. He was on my podcast. Yeah. So yeah, I've had loads of amazing people. I've been very lucky. I'm just very nice to people till they say yes.
Well, the great thing about it is you're like all the best journalists. You're very persistent. You don't give up.
No.
And I think that's admirable. You just keep on going. I'll tell you about some more episodes that we've had because I've got the list. Never remember. Frank Sinatra's Barbara, interviewed him recently, and I wrote a special Frank Sinatra song. And we had an elf whisperer on. One of them, Bryndis Fjóla Pétursdóttir, who speaks to elves in Iceland. We spoke to somebody who was born into a cult, who was amazing, spoke to a private investigator who specializes in cold case murders, somebody who obeyed every rule in the Bible for a year.
Wow.
Somebody who is a psychopath to try and get into their mind. She was very strange, very interesting. Okay. Indeed. So, and a woman who has superpower of smelling. She smells as well as a dog can smell, and she can smell diseases. And I mean, hearing her stories about just being at school and being able to smell everything, it was amazing. So, all sorts of different people. So, you must come on it, actually.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Please, would you?
Yeah, they're fascinating animals. Yeah, fascinating animals.
I've only seen them in London Zoo, though.
But they're And also in elephant society, the women are the bosses.
Ah, I like that one. Maybe I'll be a boss one day then. Who knows?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you. So next one. If I was to ask one of your work colleagues or one of your personal friends to describe you, what do you think they would say about you?
Well, I hope. Oh my goodness me, that's a really difficult question. I hope that they would say that I was a good friend and a loyal friend, and I hope that they would say that I was funny.
Cool, lovely.
Because I like being funny. I'm not funny. I'm particularly funny on the radio or television, but. I like making people laugh.
Amazing.
Normally it's like laughing at me, but I do like making people laugh.
Cool, great. What's your best joke?
Let me see now. I can't remember. I'm not really good at telling jokes. It's all just sort of things that happen in the situation and things that happen in the moment. But you interviewed Tim Vine, didn't you? I do like his joke. I think he's very, very funny. I like his I like those jokes like, you know, Velcro, what a ripoff. Or I've just been on the holiday of a lifetime. I'll tell you what, never again. I love those jokes like that. I think he's superb. And there was a comedian way back in the past who was very similar in style to Tim called Tommy Cooper, who was very funny.
Yes, Tommy Cooper.
I like those Yeah, that's right. Not like that. Not like that. So I like those really, really silly jokes.
Brilliant. Perfect. So I've got one more question. What was it like to go on The Masked Singer?
Oh my God, Kira, it was incredible. Incredible. The other contestants. On The Masked Singer, I didn't know who any of the other contestants were, only when I actually saw the program, saw them being revealed, because they're just, it's such a tight security operation and the massive place where it's made. You're going backstage and you've got disguises on, so nobody can see who you are. Mm-hmm. And when you're not in your costume, you have, let me show you the thing I have to wear. I've got it over here. Right. So whenever we walked around, I had to wear this.
Ooh, nice. Look?
Yeah, yeah. And a balaclava.
Yeah.
And gloves and a big hoodie.
Yeah.
So you sure like that. And sometimes you'd see somebody else in the same costume and you sort of you do a fist pump and stuff like that.
Okay.
And they could, but you didn't know who they were. They could, you know. And so.
And I've heard about this T-shirt you have to wear,
which says, don't talk to me.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And no, I mean, to be dressed up as a giant egg and singing, it was very difficult in there, very hot in there, very difficult to breathe, but it was one of the most joyful experiences I've ever had. It was amazing. And to just, to be there and as a giant egg and to sing Moon River. I love that song, Moon River.
Wow.
Moon River. Wider than a mile, I'm crossing you in style someday.
Aww.
So I love that song. And then what else? I said, there's no business like show
business.
And the other one I said, one of the others was what? And I would walk 500 miles. And the good bit about that one was because you got the crowd there and you just go, I loved it. It was great fun.
Amazing.
And then the next day I was going into the radio and I was doing phone-ins about the news. So it's what a wonderful life.
Yeah, amazing. I watched it on Saturday and I saw Julia Sawalha being unmasked. Yeah, yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I liked her as Bubble Tea. I actually thought Bubble Tea was Emma Bunton from the Spice Girls. I thought it was Emma.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah. No.
So who never else quite... did I guess?
Well, Davina didn't know who I was.
No, Davina got you wrong. She said someone else, didn't she?
When I'm revealed, you'll remember that when I'm revealed, she went crazy because she had no idea.
Yeah.
You'll see that in 2 weeks. Yeah.
Okay. I know who Piranha is.
Who's Piranha? Danny.
Danny James from McFly.
How do you know?
His voice. I listened back to a McFly album that I have at home and I matched his voice to the singing voice of the McFly album.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is Danny. But also on Saturday during his performance.
No, it was amazing. It was amazing. And it made me. Just doing it, dressing up as a giant egg and singing all those songs was
amazing.
You're never gonna do that again in life. It was crazy. I loved it.
I know. I thought I did crazy things, but that's not on my list.
No, it was amazing. I loved it. It was really
cool. Or personal life. So, do you have a bucket list?
A bucket list. Oh my goodness, they're bucket lists of funny things, aren't they? What would I like to do? What would I like to do? Well, I was going to say I'd like to dress up as a giant egg on The Masked Singer and sing Moon River. So that's I tick that off the bucket list.
Okay.
I don't know, because you know a lot of people like traveling, and I've done a lot of traveling for long lost family.
Okay.
I'm lucky enough to have gone to some incredible places, to South America and all over the States and Canada and Australia and New Zealand. But I actually prefer being at home.
Yeah.
I like being at home.
Yeah.
And I think my bucket list would be just because my world is such an exciting one of live broadcasts and live TV and live radio and then making Long Lost Family and that film. I have such an exciting, adrenaline-fueled, thrilling life that I really like doing nothing.
Okay. That's a lovely answer. I'm very much like you. I do like going out. I like doing new things, but I like being at home. I become a bit of a home bird since COVID, and I like my telly and I like my sofa and I like having my husband next to me on the sofa. I've become a bit more of a home bird. Yeah.
Exactly right. That's you're absolutely what I was trying to say. It's the same thing. We're the same like that. But what was COVID like for you?
Oh, okay. Well, COVID, first of all, it was really hard because obviously I couldn't see my parents. And obviously through my life, as because of my learning disability, my parents have been my supporters all of my life. So that was extra tough because then I had to rely a lot on my husband because obviously he was at home with me. He then had to step up to not only be my lovely husband, but also he had to support me in different ways during COVID. So normally my mum would come with me to health appointments. And so obviously if I did have to go to an appointment, then my husband came with me because obviously we were in a bubble together at home. So that was hard because I was so used to having my mum there as my advocate helping me speak up. I then had to have my husband there. So that was something new. And actually, in a way, it's really lovely because now my husband comes with me now to all my meetings instead of my mum. So actually, it's quite nice now. My mum can just be my mum now. So that's quite nice, actually.
I get that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
During COVID, I found the rules very hard, especially when I went on social distance walks with my mum. Like we would meet up at the local park, or we would meet up at a local place together. But then when we walked home again, not being able to hug her goodbye, that was the toughest moment. So I'd be like, bye. And she'd be like, bye. And not being able to hug her, not being able to put my arms around her and give her a squeeze was really hard. Not seeing my dad for a long time, because he was in the vulnerable category, so I wasn't able to see my dad for a long time. So when I finally got to see him, that was really special. Yeah, not seeing my family was the hardest bit of it all, just like having to like just go without your family, go without your friends. And what makes me really angry, and I get on my soapbox about this, is part of my work at Mencap during that time was I had to help write all the guidelines and put them into Easy Read so that we could put them up on the Mencap website. I spent hours and hours and hours turning all the rules.
To hear that every day, to speak to people every day, and to hear just how upset and distraught people were.
And we, as Mencap, as an organisation, we had to do a lot of lobbying because originally people with learning disabilities weren't prioritised for the COVID vaccine at first. They were told, no, they're not important. So we weren't even in any of the priority groups for the vaccine. So we had to lobby the government to say, actually, no, people with learning disabilities are important as well as anybody else. And so we did a lot of lobbying. And finally, the government said, OK, we'll put them in a priority group. So then they were able to have the jab like anybody else in a priority group. And we had to fight so much to get that, but yet they didn't care. And that's shocking.
If you were on Question Time, like if you were one of the panelists on Question Time, you would have said that and everyone was going,
Unfortunately, TV shows don't always think about having people like me on them because they just don't know what reasonable adjustments to make for us to go on those kind of shows.
You would be brilliant on Question Time.
Thank you. I would love to go on something like that. I've been on Newsnight with Victoria Derbyshire because I know her, so I've been on that. But I'd love to go on Question Time and like ask a question. Like that would be amazing. But this is the whole thing of media representation. Just the media just don't know how to talk to people with learning disabilities. The media don't get how to interview us. They don't know how to talk to us. And so they don't have us on. So I have to do a lot of befriending of people I know in the media to say, look, have me on, and then I can teach you how to talk to people like me. So, yeah, I do a lot of campaigning on my socials to get on things. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Well, it's been such a pleasure. Lovely talking to you. And we'll talk soon. Speak to you on Twitter. Bye.
Yeah. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Really enjoyed that. Thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for listening to Kira's Pink Sparkle Podcast. Join the conversation. Follow us on X at Kira's Pink Pod.